This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to Chandra Nair, the founder and chief executive of the Pan-Asian think tank, the Global Institute for Tomorrow. Now, Chandra, welcome back to the grill. You have written most recently an article just published in The Diplomat talking about the racialization of politics. What did you mean by that?
Oh, I think everyone listening to your show will understand what I mean. I suppose to spell it out in simple words, what I mean is all of us Malaysians are acutely aware, though we might have different interpretations, that our political and economic system is essentially entrenched in a racial outlook. And by that, if you could spare me a couple of minutes, I mean that our entire nation, unfortunately, is founded on what I call, four or five interlaced issues. The first is a patronage system, which is based on race and religion. A rent-seeking economy that is then built out of that patronage system based on race and religion. And its entire economic structure is structured around that. Which then in turn fosters rapid corruption and institutionalized racism in the way the institutions are set up, etc. And then we have it's essentially lack of a meritocracy because of how race is institutionalized in the decision making in the economy and in the civil service, and thus widespread incompetence in the government and civil service. And finally, I would say, the sad truth is the public has been desensitized almost to what I call a weak rule of law, apart from where there's security concerns or any disruption of the political status quo. But otherwise, we have been we see it as a norm to essentially not have strong institutions operating in the economy with checks and balances, don't allow for corruption, etc. And that's what I mean by the racialization of politics. It has corroded our country and it's stunted political growth.
Chandran, with the latest political developments and what appears to be a pro-nationalistic right-wing coalition of political parties, do your concerns expand now that this has happened?
Well, maybe I could go a step back, Chong, and say firstly, I mean, while it's the right time to be also critical, it's also a good time to count our blessings. So maybe you can allow me a minute. I think while on one hand, many Malaysians, I would say the majority of Malaysians are concerned, despite, coming from all races in this lovely multicultural country of ours, I think we should count our blessings and say that in most countries, the events of the last 2 weeks would have resulted in some pretty unpleasant, perhaps, events. So we should count our blessings that nothing untowards happened. People are calm. And I think then to your question, I and many others, I assume, have heightened concerns? Yes, but the country seems to be calm. And I think the people are saying, let the political process play out. Let us be calm. Let us see if those who feel that they have a right to the political power behave properly, and do they have alternatives? So I think the next two, three weeks, as far as the next couple of months, given what I understand is the shifting goalposts in terms of the parliamentary process, will be critical. But we should all be on guard and be contributing with what I hope will be suggestions, but yet giving a chance to the process. Yes, but I am concerned like many others.
Well, perhaps that peaceable environment might have come because, as you say, this environment has become ingrained in the public consciousness, and henceforth the lack of otherwise
a peaceful situation. Is there a bright spark to be seen in this, other than what you just described, Chandran, in terms of maybe some differing policy directions that might lend itself to the economic agenda, for example?
So, yeah, you're right to point out that on one hand, you know, the stability, the calm, people getting on with their lives is a good thing. But on the other hand, as you point out, it also points to a certain complacency or a certain resignation to this is how it is, which has essentially, if you buy into that, contributed to Malaysia essentially punching well below its weight in the region and globally. So for me, if one was to look at it from a positive angle, I would say the events of the last 2 years have transformed the country. The events of the last 2 weeks are part of that upheaval, peaceful, thankfully, where some of the old guard, some of the old thinking are still trying to essentially have their last say in matters. I sometimes compare that with Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump is essentially redneck Americans having their last stand, saying white is best, America first, everybody else, doesn't matter. I think that's the last stand of the rednecks. And perhaps the equivalent of Malaysia is all of the shenanigans reflect perhaps the death throes of those who still prescribe to 20th century post-colonial race politics. And that's a positive way to look at it. But I think Malaysians of all races and all age groups are tired of it. And we're saying, okay, we do not want violence. You guys did something which, you know, some say is in accordance with procedure. We'll see. But we're going to give you a chance and we're going to look and see how you behave. And for me, that is the silver lining, that there is a sentiment that this is not right, but we're not going to go and create mayhem. We're going to see how responsible you guys are. I firmly believe that the kind of thinking that is reflected in the current jostling for power is so much part of the 20th century. It's last century's politics of race, etc. And it's in its dying stages. And that's the positive way of looking at it. And I hope all Malaysians will rise to the positive trend, which is no more of this, but we will not resort to violence and mayhem. And we will see how you guys perform. And that, I think, will then transcend into what happens in the next 2 weeks and then hopefully the next elections as well.
Chandra, what are your expectations for policy reform in terms of the reforms that we're trying to be enacted but haven't continued because of this disruption? And here I'm referring to things like the legal framework, education, transport, the economy, the environment, climate change.
My expectations are very low. And I think that goes back to what I said about the lack of meritocracy and thus widespread incompetence in the government and civil service. Even with the last government, I think they tried to bring in some new people, etc. But I think, with all due respect, even the former prime minister said a lot of them didn't have the experience of, you know, how to do this stuff. But if you look at policy making, I think most of your listeners would agree it's been pretty weak. And I come back to the point that the institutions need to be strong. And for institutions to be strong, they need to be safeguarded from the politicking and interference of politicians. And that we still do not seem to have achieved. But at the same time, our institutions are not the strongest, and I don't want to, you know, cast a negative image of the entire institutions of the civil service, but it's weak because we don't have meritocracy. There are many, many qualified Malaysians in the country and overseas who readily serve their country in the right spots. They're not given a chance because the system is not based on getting the best people. So if you talk about everything from the economy to the education, the evidence is so clear. We do not have great policymakers, and I go as far as to say I'd be happy to get on a platform and debate any of the some of the ministers on areas that I'm no expert, but I think we could debate because the policymakers have not been making policy; they've been politicking, and the evidence is what we've seen in the last 2 years: so much politicking, so little policymaking.
I'm talking today to Chandra Nair, the founder and chief executive of the Pan-Asian think tank, the Global Institute for Tomorrow. After this, Chandra, we're going to get into your head in terms of the recent resignations of key posts and whether you have seen your impressions of how the region views the ongoing political developments in Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking today to Chandra Nair, the founder and chief executive of the Pan-Asian think tank, the Global Institute for Tomorrow. Now, in the last week and a half, Chandra, you have seen key resignations among posts in the legal fraternity, such as the Attorney General, Tommy Thomas, and more recently, the resignation of the anti-corruption chief, Latifa Koya. When you saw those developments, how did you feel? And is there any bright spots? Are there any bright spots to be taken from there?
Well, the first thing is, resignations of this sort are common around the world when prime ministers step down or there is a shift in the government, etc. We've seen all of this all over the world. And, then other people come in. Some of them are capable, some of them are not capable. So we can all have our preferences for certain individuals. But moving beyond individuals, I come back to the point about the institution. So one of the things I suggested in my article in The Diplomat was that, where's the bench in Malaysia? Where are the people who can step up? So if the Attorney General resigned for whatever reason, or for his reasons, and they're all valid. I saw his read his reasons. Then the hope is that there are lots of other capable people who can step in. So the first thing is, are there others? Then the second, then the next point is, will the new prime minister pick the best to represent the country, or is he going to be essentially someone who is essentially going to have his hands handcuffed and fall prey to the prejudices of people who say, I don't want an Eskimo, I don't want an Orang Asli, I don't want a Brahmin, and I don't want an African. Whatever prejudices they have. So there's two things. Do we have enough capable people? I like to think we have, who could step in as an attorney general. Then the next step is, are the prime minister and the cabinet willing to essentially say, we are just going to go for the best people and we don't care what race, religion, ethnicity they belong to? That's the criteria. I mean, the fact that people resign when there are political upheavals, that's supposedly how democracies work. But my fear is we don't have enough of a bench. And secondly, if we are reverting to race politics, and I still like to give the benefit of the doubt to the new government, despite the suggestions it's a backdoor and all of that, I like to think they would still say, who's the best person to do this job?
Chandra, what is your expectation now for the ongoing corruption charges against the former prime minister and indeed the former deputy prime minister? Do you expect those charges and those investigations to continue?
Well, what I expect and what I hope for are two different things. But again, coming back to, if we are a functioning country, and I still hope we are, then my expectation is the due process of law will continue. I think most Malaysians want the due process of law to continue. Most Malaysians, I think, would be horrified if the charges were dropped and the new government essentially finds a way to essentially undermine the process that's going on. I think most Malaysians know that some people are overdue. So the expectation and hope is, if we are to have any chance of building a credible legal system in this country and a judiciary which is independent and send a very strong signal to everyone that there is a rule of law and everyone is equal in the face of the law, then these trials do matter. And it must be very clear. I'm not suggesting, therefore, that so-and-so must be found guilty, because that is a due process. But the due process must take place, and there should be no political interference. If that does happen, then I think that many of us, most Malaysians, will feel reassured that things are going on as they should. I mean, the history of the country is, though, that very few powerful people, if any, have ever been found guilty and sent to jail. I'm not an expert on Malaysian history, but I can't recollect if anyone of any significant power, and political, business power, economic power, has ever been indicted or even sent on trial and been convicted. So the process must go ahead.
I'm talking today to Chandra Nair, the founder and chief executive of the Pan-Asian think tank, the Global Institute for Tomorrow. Now, obviously, you spend a lot of time in the region. Chandra, you talk to a lot of clients in the region. What are the Malaysia objects at this point in time? What are the regional, the neighbours saying about Malaysia, whether it's in the government or whether it's in the private sector?
I think over the last few years, pre the elections of 2 years ago, I think the general sentiment was something awful had struck the country in terms of the cronyism, the corruption, and the institutional weakness, whilst the other countries, who for many years we had seen as economically backward to us, were working hard to improve their institutional frameworks, etc. Then, once the elections took place, I think Malaysia was seen as essentially a rising star and establishing itself as where the people had spoken very clearly, the political process respected the outcome, and we were transitioning into something that would essentially allow Malaysia to truly punch at the level it should. I think the last 2 weeks, it's been unclear. What has been also very clear for some of the people I've spoken to is how quickly something like this could happen, and in so much sort of subterfuge. I think this is something that people haven't really understood. And there's been articles in the international media talking about the idea that the monarchies got involved in all of those things. So I think this does not really augur well for the reputation of the country. And we need to fix this very quickly. So there is a sort of view that Malaysia is weak, it's out of control, and Malaysia needs to get itself back under control and establish a firm rule of law, and that there is no free-for-all where the rich and powerful essentially run roughshod over the population.
Chandran, not only are you a Malaysian, but you're also an entrepreneur and a business owner that has operations in the country. In your opinion, over the next few weeks until the next parliamentary sitting, which is on a date as yet ascertained, what do you think is next for Malaysia?
I think the next for Malaysia is essentially, interestingly enough, in my view, making sure that we do not have a complete meltdown. And I find it very interesting as a person who talks to a lot of business people, etc. But, we all know different businesses have different, essentially, networks and therefore impacts. Probably the most interesting thing that's impacting businesses today is all the mass hysteria and paranoia over the virus, etc. But in terms of the political instability, I think people just unsure what to do in terms of investments, in terms of hiring, in terms of strategies, etc. But I think the long-term view is Malaysia regressing? And if Malaysia is regressing, Then in terms of the global economy and the idea that, you know, Malaysia needs investments, etc., then I think there'll be a very strong impact. If Malaysia is not, then I think what we will see is a strong response from the Malaysian business community. And at the same time, I think we should acknowledge that despite all the shenanigans of the last two decades, the Malaysian economy, I think, has done fairly well. I still think we could have done a lot better, but we have done fairly well. But that should not take away from the great inequalities that have been created in the country. And I allude to this in my article, where I say that race-based policies have ironically affected the race that is supposed to be helped, which is, and particularly the poor Malays, both in the rural areas and in the urban areas. Their plight is serious, but so is the plight of poor Indians and poor Chinese. But what I think is also the positive, really strong side is the private sector, and particularly the SME sector in Malaysia, just gets on with life. I mean, it just gets on, does its stuff. But those are very much local businesses. And therefore, you know, we don't see the sort of crash and burn scenario you might see in other countries. And that points to a great resilience. But the SMEs that have interconnections across the region, across the world, and who are reliant on supply chains and investors, I think they'll feel the brunt of the problem. The people who really suffer, if things don't get better, the politics continues to be corrosive, and Malaysia doesn't up its game and become an equal partner in the regional development, will be the poorer. And as we know, the majority of them are Malay. So on one hand, the race politics and those who continue to aid and abet those race politics, who claim to be, you know, champions of the Malays, in fact, in my view, as I explained in an article, people responsible for their plight. We need to change that.
As always, Chandran, thank you so much for your time. Very insightful and, as always, very honest. I was talking to Chandran Nair, the founder and chief executive of the Pan-Asian Think Tank, the Global Institute for Tomorrow, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.